This Sunday's gospel reading on the third Sunday of Easter is better appreciated if we recall very briefly here the background of our Sunday lectionary readings. Firstly, let us remember that the lectionary readings of Lent and Holy Week contain instructions about baptism and how to prepare for it. Secondly, let us remember that the lectionary readings after Easter, that is, if you remember the Easter reading and the Easter Vigil especially, which was the time that those who were candidates for baptism were baptized, and for those of us who have already been baptized, renewed our baptismal. The Sundays that, the first Sunday in Easter, of Easter, second Sunday, and now the third, are actually further explanations, sort of the catechism of Christ, new life, and the responsibilities of this new life that we receive in baptism. So it was against this backdrop our faith in the light of the faith of Thomas. His faith was a firm conviction that it is the resurrected Lord, with all the evidences of the wounds on his hands, his feet, and his side. But that faith was more than just a conviction. It led to his receiving Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Remember what he did when Jesus told him, "Thomas, put your finger to my side and to my hands." And then Thomas, we do not know whether he really did it, but simply knelt down and exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." The same is true with us. It is imperative that we receive Jesus as our own Savior and Lord, commit ourselves to Him to be His lifelong disciples. That is why we read in the previous Sundays our promises when we were baptized. This Sunday's gospel continues to talk about one very and responsibility of our baptismal faith. The responsibility of witnessing to this new life. Do you remember what the gospel tells us, where Jesus tells his disciples, "You will be my witnesses of these things, beginning from Jerusalem. You will be my witnesses of these things." Note that in the gospel story today, the disciples were surprised yet terrified, amazed but unbelieving. So Jesus showed them his hands and ate fish with them to prove that he was not a ghost. Then this refrain, "Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, 'This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and the repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.'" And then remember the punchline again, "You are my witnesses." Things. We will note hear the movement from faith. Faith, which is believing and accepting the risen Christ as our Lord and Savior. From receiving to mission, what the Lord sends the believers to do, to be witnesses. According to the gospel reading, Jesus told his disciples what to witness. Namely, A, that the Son of Man was crucified and died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. And second, that he rose from the dead and conquered sin and death. And third, that all people must repent of their sins and obtain forgiveness in his name. How are we going to do this? We have our cue in the following and concluding verses of the Gospel of Luke about the ascension. You know, if you continue the reading from the Gospel of Luke, he describes the ascension of our Lord at that moment when Jesus has been lifted up and the cloud had removed him from their sight. These words may sound like suggestions of the absence of Jesus. In fact, these words are symbolic expressions of his new hidden presence, meaning to say that Jesus' presence is no longer limited to time and space. I will be with you until the end of time. So he can now be present with all of us, everywhere and always. This new hidden presence of Jesus is the reason behind the order of Jesus to his disciples. You are to be my witnesses. From henceforth, it will be through us, through our humanity, through our human words and deeds, that the new hidden presence of Jesus is to be made again visible and tangible. This is the function of what we call witnessing. We are witnesses if we become the new vehicles of the presence of Jesus in the life of others. So the essential content of our witness is to testify by our lives that the power of the risen Jesus has touched and transformed us, that we are the new presences of Christ to everyone we meet. In other words, Jesus is to speak and to act to other people through us. It sounds very difficult, but it is told that in Calcutta, this is a story about Mother Teresa, who was canonized as a saint, I think, last year or 2 years ago. It is told that in Calcutta, a dying woman with her head in the lap of Mother Teresa looked at her for a long time and in a feeble voice asked, "Are you the God Jesus who loves the poor and the sick?" Witnessing, to make people question, make questions or ask questions like that when they meet us. Are you the Lord Jesus Christ? So let our daily lives be the means of experiencing and sharing the risen Lord with others. Just as the disciples experienced the risen Lord in their community, let us learn to make the presence of Jesus felt in our own homes, in our workplaces, in nursing facilities, in hospitals, in schools, in the community at large, especially that is suffering because of the coronavirus pandemic. In our own little way, let us continue doing our little acts of compassion and mercy, signing our little cards, sending our flowers, making our phone calls or short visits, sharing our little bits of food or meals, and above all, our little assurances of prayers for one another, especially during these critical times. This is my prayer and my hope that we will continue to live the spirit and the lessons of the Easter season. Amen.